Widespread rain to the Midwest tomorrow. Thunderstorms will be possible across the Ohio River Valley. High temperatures today will range from the mid-30s across northern Wisconsin to the mid-60s across western Kentucky. And low temperatures overnight will range from the mid-20s in northern Wisconsin to the low 60s in western Kentucky. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, cloudy, the high 48, the wind from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, showers are likely after midnight. The temperature will hold steady in the upper 40s with the wind out of the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, occasional showers with a chance of thunderstorms. Look for a high of 55 with the temperature falling during the afternoon. The wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming westerly at 10 to 15 miles per hour tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain in the evening. We'll see a low of 38. The wind will be out of the northwest from 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25 miles per hour. Wednesday, sunny with a high in the low 50s. The wind from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday night and Thanksgiving Day, mostly clear. The low Wednesday night in the mid-30s, the high Thursday in the mid-50s. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low in the low 40s. And the outlook for Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 50s. At noon central time across Illinois and Indiana, temperatures ranged from the mid to upper 40s. Most locations reporting a cloudy sky. It was mostly sunny, however, at Rockford, where a temperature of 46 degrees was reported, 44 and cloudy at O'Hare. In Peoria, 46 degrees. In Mattoon, 46 degrees. And Carbondale reported fog and 49 degrees at the top of the hour. It was 44 and mostly sunny at South Bend. In Lafayette, partly sunny and 49. Indianapolis reported drizzle and 47 degrees. Terre Haute had a cloudy sky and 47 degrees. Willard Airport reported a cloudy sky at the top of the hour, the temperature 47. The dew point 42, the relative humidity 83%, the wind out of the northeast at 10, and the barometric pressure 30.19 and falling. And at 12:39, 47 degrees in Urbana. A scientist in Boston has been driving around the city measuring leaks in gas mains. He's found quite a few, and he wants the public to know where they are. Gas leaks aren't uncommon, and gas companies spend a lot of time tracking them down and repairing them. But the scientific team says they're surprised at how many they've found and what those leaks are doing to the health of the city's trees. NPR's Christopher Joyce has more.
Biologist Nathan Phillips at Boston University was intrigued with what methane from underground gas mains might be doing to trees. On a stroll through Boston, he met a former gas line inspector who said Boston's gas system was, in fact, leaky. So Phillips obtained a methane detector called a cavity ring down spectrometer and put it in a car.
We just measure while we drive. It's a very fast-acting piece of equipment.
Together, the team drove 785 miles of Boston and suburban roads. They found about 4,000 significant leaks.
Like many people, I really didn't know the scope of the problem, so I was very surprised.
In some cases, the levels were high.
The record level that we found for a leak, this is in the atmosphere that we breathe on the surface in Boston, was about 30 parts per million of methane, and that's over 15 times the normal background level.
Phillips notes that he's not a health expert and says he has no reason to believe these levels pose a risk to human health, but he does believe, as a plant physiologist, that the methane is probably harming trees.
Natural gas is largely methane. That displaces the oxygen. It's also dry gas, so it desiccates the soils as well. And roots need to have oxygen for the metabolism of the roots, for the repair of the root membranes. If they're starved for oxygen, the tree will suffer.
A state advocacy group is suing utilities in the region for damages to trees and citing Phillips' research. The plaintiffs are communities that claim millions of dollars of damage has been done to trees in the Boston area. Tom Kiley, head of the Northeast Gas Association, says it's true that methane can damage vegetation, but it's not common.
There certainly are a lot of potential causes to the damage to trees and vegetation that include insect infestation, vehicular damage, disease, storm damage, drought, salt, waste oil, gasoline.
The association represents gas companies in the region. Kylie says when there's damage, gas companies remove and replace the trees. That's confirmed by a spokesman for National Grid, the major supplier of natural gas to the Boston area. As for the leaks, Kylie says gas companies do report how much they lose statewide to the State Department of Public Utilities. He doesn't know how many leaks there are in Boston, but says leaks are a problem that the companies take seriously.
It's an older system. It is being replaced. There are some cast iron facilities and some bare steel or unprotected steel that are being replaced. So there are, in fact, leaks on the joints.
For his part, Nathan Phillips says he recognizes that the gas company is working to contain leaks. His aim, he says, is to make the information about the leak's whereabouts and frequency easily available to the public.
The buried infrastructure, when it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and it's easy for us to just forget that it even exists.
Phillips notes methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas that warms the planet. And in fact, scientists at the company that makes the methane sniffer, Picaro, in California, have begun mapping leaks in San Francisco, too. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
A new Muppets movie is on its way to theaters. NPR's Susan Stamberg was allowed to go behind the scenes to meet the Muppets wranglers.
We visited the Muppets, that's the name of the movie, last winter on a huge soundstage at Universal Studios in Burbank, California. Picking our way through cables and cameras and stuff that would make Oscar's trash can look tidy, we found the Muppet diva getting ready for her close-up.
I am so easy. I don't have any demands at all. Merely chocolate in my dressing room. Flowers in my trailer. Of course, the trailer has to be a semi.
Since their last big screen encounter, Muppets in Space, in 1999, the Muppets each went their separate ways. But when they learn that their old Muppet Theater in Los Angeles is being torn down so an oil tycoon can drill underneath, they reunite to save it. How? They hold a telethon.
We have Muppets standing by to take your calls.
Yes, we are. Good evening, everyone.
Could I have a large pizza with ham and...
Yes, and boy, do we have a wonderful show.
The movie's Muppet Theater was assembled on a set built for the 1925 silent film Phantom of the Opera. That old stage set, draped with dusty red velvet swags, still looks phantom-ridden.
I'll be looking for Kevin.
Oh, and Sweetums, so we need Matt.
In a cramped balcony box, some Muppets crowd together to shoot a scene. First, puppeteer Matt Vogel has a problem.
I have a place where I can stick my hand through here if I wanted to, and I don't want you to see it on camera.
Muppet captain Bill Beretta races to the rescue.
Yeah, I have to think about this all day now.
You would think it was Olivier doing Hamlet, but no. Bill Beretta makes decisions like this every other second. It's not that easy being Muppet captain. Beretta also performs some Muppets. He took on a few characters enacted by the late Muppet creator Jim Henson. Characters like the Swedish chef, Ralph the dog, Dr. Teeth. And Bill Beretta performed some newer Muppets like Pepe, a little Spanish-speaking shrimp.
He's not a shrimp, please. He's a king prawn, okay? It's a big difference. The size is what matters, okay?
Okay. Pepe's performer Bill Beretta says his wife's Spanish aunt was the inspiration.
She had this great way of talking to people. She only spoke in statements. You know, she would say, "This is a black shirt, okay?" Yeah, okay. "Come on, Bill, we go to the mall, okay?" That's what she said all the time. It was okay at the end of everything. So
during a brainstorming session for a 1996 Muppet TV show, Beretta found himself describing his aunt-in-law.
And she was a little bit selfish in a way, and I said, you know, she's very fine, but a little shellfish. And I said, shellfish, by mistake. And one of the writer-directors said, wait a minute, okay, maybe it's a lobster, or it's a crab, or a shrimp. And, oh, maybe a shrimp. No, wait, it's a king prawn, because maybe he has a problem with size.
I love this. It takes a village to make a prawn.
Absolutely.
Totally collaborative.
And I think that was something that Jim created.
Yeah.
That was always the way it was. Just glad to be a part of that process.
Yeah, but how did the aunt-in-law feel? She was not offended?
No, she loved it. She said, it is okay.
Everybody's making their way in.
Some special guest stars show up to do cameo roles in the telethon scene, helping raise money to save the Muppet Theater. So, also jammed into that small balcony box, Whoopi Goldberg, James Carville, Judd Hirsch, Neil Patrick Harris, the director yells,
"Rolling!"
And the actors start ad-libbing with one another and the Muppets. But hand puppets can't see the stars or anybody or thing for that matter. Movie magic, however, helps the puppeteers be invisible. Muppet Captain Bill Beretta explains.
We have monitors in specific places so that the puppeteers are able to see what they're doing and at the same time see what the other person is doing and at the same time moment-to-moment reacting as an actor would do. So it's all those things that come together at once.
Principal-wise, I need the front row.
The puppeteers have to pretzel themselves out of camera range. They sit, they squat, they belly down under tables, ledges. Sometimes the sets are raised 4 feet off the ground for easier Muppet maneuvering. That's the inside work with lots of lifting. Outside work is even trickier. For a big song and dance number, Hollywood Boulevard was shut down for 2 days. Dancers, human actors, and Muppets all performed in the real world.
We have to be down on the ground with little rolly chairs and straining and trying to get your head down below the shot, and it's much more difficult to be out in the real world.
Here we go.
James Bobin is the movie's director.
Cut. Great, good. Got that.
It's his first film, and he's a total newbie to the Muppets.
No Muppet training whatsoever, as you can probably tell.
So Bobin relies heavily on Muppet veterans like Bill Beretta.
So whenever I have an idea, I say, "Bill, is that possible?" And he tells me yes or no. Normally he says yes, which is good for me. But there are obviously limitations in shooting puppets. Door handles are a nightmare with the wrong height. Windowsills, a no-no, very difficult to get around windowsills. Generally, they're hand puppets, so they come from underneath. They often have no legs. Shh, whisper it quietly, don't tell people that.
Now, you would think in this age of computer-generated special effects, they could make some Muppet legs. But James Bobin says no.
This is very much a puppet festival, and it's all about, you know, felt and fur and seeing that for real, not computer graphics.
And won't all the Muppets lovers out there be glad about that?
We are the Muppets.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. The Muppets, the movie, opens the day before Thanksgiving. Boom. I'm Susan Stanford, NPR News. Boom. Kermit, has it gotten any easier being green?
You know it has. I think it has gotten easier. I think people are more accepting of green. I know I myself went to a Being Green support group. And it's helped quite a lot. But can I say something directly to your listeners? If any of you wake up in the morning and you find yourself green, I would suggest you see a doctor.
Green's the color of spring.
WILL stations are sustained through special gifts from people like you who recognize the value of Illinois public media. By naming WILL in your estate plans, you'll make an investment in the future of quality news, information, entertainment, and children's programs.